Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 764, kicking off the year of Halo Infinite with Shyway, recorded live on January 7th, 2021. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, and welcome to 2021, the year of Halo Infinite. At least we're hoping, with no more delays. I am one of your co-hosts, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And I'm DJ Blue BDX, also known as Blurry.
But you got a sweet background behind you now.
Which I don't know how to turn off, so there we go. I can't tell if that's part of the problem, and I'm glad the listeners can't actually see it, but there you go.
There you go. Well, for those that are watching or want to come watch live, you can tune into Twitch.
There you go.
And we've got a special guest with us to kick off the new year. We got Shyway on. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here, guys.
Yeah. Thank you for kicking off 2021 with us. Hopefully, it'll be a good year for Halo. We're all very hopeful, I think, given the delay of Infinite from last year and just with all the crazy stuff going on in the world, we could use a little positivity in our life. Yeah, for those of us in the States, hopefully everyone's staying safe given the extraordinary circumstances that have been happening as of late. I know, Shyway, thankfully you do not have to deal with any of that.
Yeah,
I'm sure you're very, very happy with that about now. But let's get on to our first couple of questions, as we do with all of our guests on the show. We have two questions that we start off with. First one is, how did you get involved in Halo? What dragged you in? What pulled you in to the Halo universe?
Damn. Where do I start with that? I mean, I always loved Halo, right? I always had, I don't know if you guys ever had that one friend who had all the video games. Because I had that. Yes. I had that one friend as a kid who just had every single console. He was super, I'd say spoiled, but I love the guy or else I wouldn't have played so many games if it wasn't for him. But Halo, I tried for the first time at his place. I tried Halo 1. We played co-op campaign. And I mean, I fell in love, you know, right off the bat. So I've always loved Halo. As far as, you know, getting into Halo with YouTube and more like of a career focus, it took a long time to get there. Halo 5 kind of sucked me back in, though. I got to say, like, I always liked Halo when I followed it. I was more kind of casually invested. I enjoyed the story, Big T Battle, you know, social stuff like that. And then all of a sudden with Halo 5, I had various interests. I had an interest in Smash Bros. Melee as well, which is a very technical, very competitive game.
Oh, that is so competitive.
Yeah. So when I played Halo 5, I got that Melee feeling from it because it had all these like deep movement mechanics. So it just kind of sucked me in. And next thing I knew, I was a big Halo fan. At the same time, I was very focused on casting and commentary and stuff. I was doing a lot of local voluntary tournaments and things near my house. And there was this one gig that I was a part of. It was a show called Replay. It was like an esports talk show where I luckily landed a position as a host on the show, and I had this segment called Game Changer, which is my own personal segment, and where I decided to stand up beside a TV and break down video games. And the first game that I broke down was Smash, and it was like a hit for some reason. It just clicked with me, just breaking down video games beside a TV. So that the show eventually got canned, but I realized I really liked doing this, and I had a bit of a knack for it. And at the time, Halo 5 was a game that I was playing obsessively. So I decided to try my hand at YouTube and try to apply the same thing I had done in that show, but over on the YouTube channel. And then, you know, story just kind of wrote itself from there. But that was back in 2018.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept to kind of take the video games, break it down, almost kind of like documentary style or TV style, and really just expand upon what your interests are. And I remember a couple of MLG tournaments that I went to and seeing like a separate stage just for Melee.
Yeah.
And just seeing how like frame perfect those actions would have to be at that level. And I'm just like, I can't even, think at that level.
That was what was so cool about it, though, is, you know, since childhood, I've always loved video games, and I couldn't stop talking about video games. That was my thing. Is like, my parents would try to get me to shut up, but I wouldn't shut up. I just, you know, whether it was Mario 64 or any Nintendo 64 game I had, I couldn't stop talking about everything about the game and how it works and the mechanics and stuff. So when I watch players playing Melee, or when I watch somebody like Frosty or Shotzi or something play Halo, there's so many little things that I see them doing. And when they do it, and it's the reason why they got that kill or they won that fight or whatever, I get this like this feeling of excitement where I'm like, oh, that's so sick. Like, you got to know what he did and why it was sick. So I feel this need to explain it to people. I guess it just kind of came out through Halo. But I don't know. It's a beautiful thing. It's like art, you know, the way that that people can kind of express their creativity and their personality through a video game.
It really is. And you put that probably as eloquently as I've ever heard.
Thank you.
We're definitely going to have a great time interviewing you on the podcast. I am so happy to finally get this going. I know we've talked about it for a couple of months, but to actually get you on to talk about it, that's going to be great. You kind of touched on this second question already a bit, but what specifically do you do within the Halo community? A lot of people probably know, but for those who are uninitiated or don't know what you really do in the competitive scene, what is it that you do within the Halo franchise?
So right now I do YouTube videos. So I make my breakdown videos on YouTube, discussions, a whole variety of things on YouTube. I have a Twitch live stream, so I stream there. And then beyond that, I'm a host, and this is something that's a personal dream of mine, is I want to host as many Halo events as I can. I host Esports Arena. That's a weekly gig on Sundays, a 4v4 tournament for $1,000. I try to jump into the Pro Series event, so I'm doing casting gigs there on Saturdays. And then I did HCS Weekly, which is very similar to this show here, where I'm,
yes.
It'd be cool to have some of you guys over on HCS Weekly. If the show makes a comeback, we're talking about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, hosting that talk show. But just, you know, hopefully when we get through this whole kind of COVID situation, I'll be at those events, back up on that desk, because that's the real dream for me, is to be up there. So I guess YouTube streaming and then casting is kind of the dedicated focus right now.
Very nice. Yeah, I miss my at least one Halo event that I would go to a year.
Yeah.
Once COVID hit, and it was, yeah, it's been, and I think DJ, the last Halo event you were at was what, DreamHack back in February of last year.
Yeah.
In GT.
Yeah, I was shoutcasting the Halo Reach PC speedrunning tournament. It was the world speedrunning tournament.
That's sick.
So, yeah, that was
I
wild.
I haven't been to one, so it's easy for me to remember which one.
We got to get you the one at some point. Yeah.
That would have been the last time I saw you as well, DJ.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
At DreamHack. Yeah. Damn.
I kept bouncing between there and back.
Yeah. 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 I can't, like, it's just crazy. We, you know, in January, February, just, we had no idea what was to come, no. You know, like, I'm glad that was a good event, but I didn't realize that was it. Like, I was never going to get a moment like that for the rest of the year. It's just,
right.
It's just wild, man.
Yeah.
But I thought it was bonkers because, of course, we were back in Anaheim. And I'd been there just in September with Outpost Discovery, and that was our last stop on the tour for Halo. And then we rolled right back there for Anaheim with DreamHack, and it was interesting to see the change and how much everything was starting to just quickly devolve when it came to public events, and it got real crazy real fast.
Well, I think it was like December when news was starting to report on the possible outbreak, and the world was just kind of like, okay,
pushing it aside.
Yep. Let's see if it stays contained. We're just going to carry on, and then March hit, and bam, whole world shut down. Yeah.
And then I got the brilliant idea of changing jobs in the middle of that. Anyway,
I think a lot of people had to change jobs in the middle of that.
Well, they had the choice or not. I chose to.
Yeah.
There was just one thing I wanted to add. There was I had the audacity to say 2020 is the year of Halo. Back in, what was it, November, DreamHack closed the show. Yep. I yelled it. I like slammed my hand on the desk and I was like, 2020 is the year of Halo. Let's, you know, like,
not.
Yep. Anyway,
in Atlanta, I remember that.
Yeah. You can blame COVID for that.
Yeah.
just put a big COVID sign on there.
It's your fault.
If only, that would be terrible.
Oops.
Yeah.
Oopsies.
Crazy how things happen. But now I'm trying to say it's 2021 is going to be the year. I've switched gears. I have a little icon for it, where when somebody subscribes, it says 2020, and then a little automated voice comes in and says, one is the year of Halo. And it just, I'm going to keep adjusting it until it is eventually.
There you go.
Date subject to change. Just asterisk date subject to change. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
It's the fine print on the bottom of the screen that you got to look out for.
Yeah.
We got Lil Panther in here, Keys, Kick-Ass Jamis, welcome aboard, and Pharos, Gigi, thank you for joining us on the podcast tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We've all come back off the holiday break. We were away for 3 weeks.
Yeah, it was actually, it was long.
Yeah, it was a nice break. I wish I took more time off of work to get some more stuff done, but you live, you learn. So, let's start out with DJ. How was your break?
Lots of streaming. Lots of streaming to trying to get the puppies to not be afraid of the rain. Like, guys, you live in Portland.
Good luck with that.
It's gonna rain. So hello. And they're now less afraid of umbrellas. And I can't believe I had it. Yeah. Two Great Danes that are now 120 pounds and 8 months old.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's basically a 12-year-old with a 3-year-old's mind. It's crazy. So. Yeah, aside from that.
And before you move on, thank you, Pens, for another 5 gifted tier Woo! 1 subs.
Go, Pens, Halo, go.
Yep.
Nice, buddy.
Got Keys, GT, Cannon, Pharos, GG, all with subs now. Life and Entertainment, that looks like a bot.
Gee, you think?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Anyways, continue, DJ.
Oh, just other than that, I've been enjoying the games and really enjoying getting back into the community. We had our very first, the AGLA teamed up between Pen Halo and playgripball.com. And so I shoutcasted the very first nice. Gripball tournament of 2021. That was amazing. We had some competitive arena players also team up and go up against some of the Gripball pros. And it was wild. Absolutely incredible games. Probably some of the best Gripball I've seen in the last couple of years. And so I think I'm probably going to start getting back into the shoutcasting for Gripball again. And picking back up with Pen Halo and doing some projects with them.
Great. Yeah, I definitely want to pick your brain a little bit more about that later on in the show.
Absolutely.
So, yep. GT, how about yourself?
Oh, I've been having all kinds of fun. let's see. I managed to break the stairs and go to my bedroom.
What?
My wife has been sick for most of the 3 weeks. I managed to catch whatever she had for about a week. And I'm just now getting over that. So, yeah, I've had lots of fun.
2021's off to a great start for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, luckily, all that happened before the first. So, 2021's looking pretty good so far.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah, that was quite interesting. I had a guy over at my house on Christmas Eve fixing my stairs. Because I live in a duplex and it's an old place. It's old and the foundation's moving around. Well, apparently the company that built this had some people building stairs that really shouldn't be allowed to pick up a hammer. Cause once I saw how they had done that, I was like, you stupid. Never mind.
Lots of bleeps in there.
Yeah.
Bleep, 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 bleep. Anyway.
And Shyway, since you're here, how was your holiday break? Do you end up doing anything, well, in our limited capacity to do anything fun?
Yeah, it was good. I'm glad that I'm surrounded by my family and we don't hate each other. I'm thankful for a lot of things. Of course, we can't do much. We can't really go out and have fun and stuff. I did start seeing a new lady recently, and that's been kind of nice. What we've been doing a lot is going skating. That's kind of a new thing that I'm not doing on a regular basis normally, but now that you got, a girl to hang out with, I guess going skating has become one of my main pastimes. But
ice or roller?
Ice
or roller?
There's a rink that happens to be just walking distance from my house. Yeah. And
cool.
Yeah. I've been, I used to play hockey. It was almost.
That was my next question.
Yeah. Be really invested in it. Haven't touched it for years and years, and now I'm back on the ice again. So it feels a little weird, but I'm getting the hang of it. So that's been nice. Other than that, I'm just hanging out with family. I got the Series X recently. I went out and spent way too much money so I could play Halo 5 with slightly less, it was a delay or whatever. I have like, I still am convinced I have the time. It's not heavy aim, but like the latency of the aimer seems to be connected to the server. So some games are still worse than others, but it's better. Anyway,
yeah.
I've been playing Game Pass games on it though, just chilling. It's great. Been good.
It's nice that there are so many in the library.
There really is.
To like just grab. If you've already got it, you grab it, you can just start throwing games on there and goofing around.
I lucked out because I used to work at a Microsoft store and I
wait, what?
Go. Sorry?
You did?
I did, yeah. Yeah.
Wait.
I live in Toronto, so it was a store near I am. I'm not sure if you would ever frequent it.
Yeah. So I was at 0043.
I was 0075 is where I was at. What's that? 43, is that like Yorkdale or?
That's Portland.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, I was in the Portland, Oregon store.
Oh, okay.
Until it closed.
So one of the beautiful benefits of working at Microsoft was I happened to be working there when the Game Pass Ultimate was coming out, and they were just giving away free codes. So the first thing they did was give us a free year of Game Pass Ultimate. And then I have a bunch of buddies who still work with Microsoft. They gave me even more. So basically, I'm just capped out at the full 36 months of Game Pass Ultimate. Right. So I have it till like 2023 or something. So I don't really know. Like, I think in Canadian, it's like 17 a month or something. So I'm sure if I had to pay for it, then I would feel, the pain of paying monthly. But like, just because I've got it free here, the value's insane. Like I look at this huge roster of games that I can just access at any time, and it keeps getting bigger. There's rumors that Ubisoft is joining too, which would be huge.
Are they?
So, yeah.
Well, honestly, yeah, with the Game Pass, it's actually really a good deal for people that buy more than two games a year. Especially if they're buying AAA titles. I mean, you buy two AAA titles, you've paid for Game Pass for the year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mileage may vary.
And then you still would have to shell out for the Xbox Live anyway, so.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
definitely worthwhile if you're into playing a whole bunch of different kinds of games. For sure. All right, let's get on to the main content so we can get over to our interview with Shiwei here. Not a lot of Halo news over the past couple of weeks. Not a lot of potacular things happening either, because we were basically off completely for the last 3 weeks. So no Fragment Friday update, no Achieving Halo update. We can take a look at our Spartan Company commendations, see how we're doing with those. I'm hoping that we have one actually done, because Splatters and Castle Wars should have bumped us over the edge. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like we did. We're still down by 76.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I can't complain because I didn't play at all, unfortunately, this entire holiday season.
Yeah.
I got a little bit of gaming in. I just didn't get a whole lot. It just, honestly, I've been so busy with other stuff that gaming has just gone to the wayside.
Yeah, same for me.
I fell into the zombies addiction and then went and started Destiny again. And now I have to live with myself
DJ
and admitting
is
that
addicted
in public.
To Destiny again.
It's unfortunate. It's true. It's true. It's although Griffball's back in MCC, so I'm super happy about that. I just need to be able to find a game on PC for it.
There you go. And hopefully there's not the hammer lines again.
Oh, that's easy. That just means more kills for me. If they want to be dumb and stand in a row and let me kill them, well, guess what? I'm going to get four kills and I'm going to score the ball and just run right through them.
This Griffball is serious business. So you're playing is it Halo 5 Griffball that you were competing on or casting?
No. They were doing Halo 3. Yeah, I've been shoutcasting Griffball since I was the primary shoutcaster for Griffball starting in 2014.
Damn.
So, yeah. But, and then took my time away from it after, like, I want to say 2017. Yeah, so a couple years off, and then I popped back in and out for some of the bigger ones. But, yeah, we did the World Championships down in RTX each year, and then, yeah.
That's
but
cool.
Griffball's crazy because it's so different from Arena Halo.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's Arena Halo tactical. You've got to be cautious. You've got to know your positions. You've got to make sure that you're communicating when it comes to where people are holding points, watching spawns and you need to have your sensitivities where it needs to be so you can get that proper shot and just nail them once. with Griffball, it is 10-10-5 with the sensitivity, hold forward, and just kill everything you can see, and it doesn't matter if you die. You can die 168 times in a game, it doesn't matter, so long as you get 5 goals. And watching competitive players try and go into Griffball, the whole mental game changes if they're confused at first. Like, wait, hold on, I'm trying not to die. Doesn't matter, you'll respawn, who cares, to die? You come back with a hammer and a sword. No other weapons on the map, get it.
You've got the abilities like the thrust and stuff in Halo 5 to use as well, right?
For 5? No. Well, yes, in matchmaking. Competitive? No. No, oh. we pull all that out. Pull all the shields off. It's gets much more destructive in competitive Griffball. We take away all the fluff.
Yeah, the Griffballers definitely like their certain way of playing. I mean, same thing for arena folks too.
Oh, yeah.
You go through, you tweak, you see what the jump height and gravity, fine-tune all that, fine-tune the base speed, the sprint speed. So
yeah,
it's just as detailed as the arena competitive.
I'm curious to see Infinite Griffball. That sounds like a whole new thing, right?
With aren't we all?
Updated forge and what?
Yeah. I am really curious to see what they do with Forge, because if the jump from 4 to 5 was any indication of kind of a just generational leap,
we would be designing games of Forge and the new Forge.
Exactly. Well, I mean, there's already Duck Hunt, there's already Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a game, developer tools in there. Yeah.
Well, when you think of it from a design perspective, it almost is going to help inspire those future artists and potential future level makers and mapping artists that could very well this be the doorway into the industry, not necessarily even with Halo specifically, but learning it through Forge is definitely an indicator, man. If you're addicted to it, if it just sparks that moment of creativity, that's a great way to determine if this is the future path that you need to be going on as an artist.
It's crazy. I mean, Halo or, you know, Microsoft, Bungie, I guess they managed to do it, you know, back 10 years ago. But nowadays, it's just crazy to think, like, how many hands, like, Halo has in so many different areas, right? Like, there's pockets. You got your Griffball, the Forge community, you know, Arena, Big Team Battle, whatever. Like, there's all these pockets who want different things and play it in their own competitive way, or campaign, speed running. It's just, it's wild to think, you know, how many places they've kind of got their, I don't know if hands is the right word, but they need to be aware of and also execute on properly, because everybody wants different things in these areas. So it's like, it's just crazy. Nowadays, you don't see that as much. So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, that's very true. All right, moving on to some of our community stuff. We have a couple of new stuff in our Discord. If you want to head on over and see what the community is up to, just head on over to podtackler.com/Discord or type !Discord in the chat, because now we have bot commands, because I worked on that over the holiday break.
Ooh, to
finally
sexy.
Get us into the modern age of having chat commands. Took long enough. We have a nice little clip from Prestige called Deja Vu Halo, which is, if anyone knows the Deja Vu meme, it's pretty apt to that. And then we've got a couple of art updates. First one is from Spartan0398, who has been working on his project Gen 3 in Blender. And then we also have an update from Archangel, his first SFM Halo piece for the new year that he shared with us as well. So posting those links in the Twitch chat for those that are here, for those that are listening to the audio version, feel free to jump in our Discord and find them in the artwork channel. That's all we have for the Podtacular update. We'll have more stuff to talk about next week, obviously, with Fragment Friday returning, Achieving Halo returning, and the return of our Machinima Mondays and Streamer Saturday showcases. We've got a little update on playlists. So what do we got coming up for Halo 5 in the next month there, GT?
Well, for this weekend, we've got Covenant Slayer coming in for replacing Castle Wars. For the weekend of the 14th, we have Rock and Rail coming in and Warzone Assault going live. For January 21st, ODST Slayer rotates in, which I'm actually looking forward to trying that again. The last couple of times, I haven't had a chance to play it.
Same.
And then on the weekend of January 28th, we've got Roaming King rotating in and Warzone Turbo goes live. Dust.
Turbo time. I am not obligated to do it, but I feel obligated to do it.
And as we stated earlier, for the Master Chief Collection, Griff Ball goes live for the new year.
Oh, yeah.
Griff
Ball.
Very nice.
I need to put that back on my soundboard.
Yep. I have a feeling there might be some Griff Ball happening this weekend in DJ's stream, maybe.
If we can find a game, yes, absolutely. I actually tried today during my Astro meetings. I was like, I pulled it up and I couldn't seem to find a game. So I know, Twitch went down, like a whole bunch of different services went down. I couldn't figure out what happened. So I just attributed it to that.
The last week's
been nuts. Problems with Xbox Live? No.
What?
Twitter went down a couple weeks ago. Twitch has been down like yesterday and today. Google went down. Yeah.
I lost my hair. Like, so many different things just disappeared this last week.
Which hair was that?
What hair?
DJ?
What hair did you lose? There's nothing up there.
I had to pull one of those really long ones. It just sticks straight up. It was like right there. Yeah. It was just a single. You know, nothing grows up there.
Oh my gosh.
Nose hair?
Shiny like an egg.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. For the MCC and flight update, the last update we had was on the 18th, and there really wasn't anything new in there, so we're just going to pass by that. The one Halo Waypoint article we have is a somber note. The Halo Xbox 360 game services will be sunsetting in December, or no earlier than December of 2021.
I can't believe people are still playing on 360. I think there are a lot of people who are upset about that.
I know there's some folks that are trying to go for their Inheritor rank and Reach, and there's folks still going in for... I think Reach is probably... If I had to guess, Reach is probably the one that has the most population, if I had to guess.
Actually, I tried Sunday, because I have two achievements left for Reach. I couldn't find a single game.
Well, we'll take care of that because we're definitely going to have plenty of achievement nights to help get the 360 achievements completed.
There we go.
I've got.
We're going to focus on Reach, getting that.
I've got two Reach ones and four Halo 4 ones.
I've got one Halo 4, four Halo 3, and a huge chunk of Spartan Assault, and one in Halo Wars.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I still have to do Spartan Assault. I forgot about that one. I have to look and see how many I've gotten that one.
I've kind of just played through it normally, so I know I've beaten the game, but...
Yeah, I know I've done F-Operation, something, but I can't remember what.
The F-Operation, which I think is the co-op ones, I haven't done yet. And there's some of the, like the do really well in a certain mission or do a certain thing in there that I haven't really focused on either. So I got to work on those. So all of the live functionality for the 360 titles will basically be gone. You'll still be able to boot up the game and play, so you can still do LAN parties, you can still do campaign, you do all that over local network. It's just anything that you have to use that is live-based will not be there, minus a couple of things. So you'll probably still be able to like update your Spartan profile and that kind of stuff, but... File share won't be accessible. You won't have matchmaking anymore. So it's basically anything that you can do with just a local LAN connection. That's all you'll be able to do.
I really wish they would allow us to do, and I know this can kind of open things up. You know how with Halo 5, they gave us access to the ability to have our own server?
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if they would allow us to have something like that for the 360, to where we can do, you know, like our own little private Xbox Live.
Your own virtual LAN, so to speak.
Yeah. But there's not really a need to, because all of the 360 titles are client-based for matchmaking, they're client-based. Like, they're not using a dedicated server to host the games.
I understand that. But you still have to have a server to make the connections.
There is things like Xbox Connect and Click Kai, replace the.
But that requires, I mean, there's just, it would be nice to have something officially supplied by Xbox.
What's the advantage to playing on any of those games now? Like, I don't know how you guys deal with 30 some, FPS.
Yep, I would. I'm listening.
Some people
on
like
this
the
one.
Nostalgia. I mean, every once in a while, I'll still fire up my Xbox 360 and I'll play through the games. For one, you cannot play original CE on the Xbox One.
That's fair. But the original CEs, that's on the original Xbox, right? That would be
right. But it's also playable on 360.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that never had Xbox Live Service.
No,
yeah.
It didn't. But Halo 2, also to play the original Halo 2, even though it's a back compat game on 360, it's still nice to get go back to the original game every once in a while.
There's a lot of technical complications about
you. I'm not saying it's something easy, and I'm not saying it's ever going to happen. I just said it would be nice if there was a way they could do that, because obviously the people in the community have figured out ways to do it.
Sounds like a lot of intelligence that requires the use of algebra, and you know how I feel about discussing algebra on stream. It's just not something that you're going to make me start drinking.
I feel like I just stick to what's current. My 360 is sitting on a shelf, and I don't see myself pulling it out of that shelf anytime soon.
Well,
aside from Mass Effect 3's multiplayer.
What, for Mass Effect? What?
Mass Effect 3 had a multiplayer that was actually, it was a great grind. It was a great PvE grind, but yeah, it doesn't really ever go anywhere.
Yeah. So that's a somber note, but I mean, it was bound to happen and happened with Halo 2.
Well, yeah, I didn't expect them to keep the 360 services out forever.
Going forever, yeah. I am curious to see if it's going to be another Halo 2 type of thing where there's going to be the core group of people that continue to play as long as the servers stay up. And it'll be something where if you sign out, if you get kicked out of matchmaking, and see if there's like that 21 days where there's still like the last bastion of people playing on the 360 services.
I have considered rubber bands and controller with cable.
Oh, geez. And yes, Bobby, we still need to finish that general rank, which we've made at least good progress on that in Halo Wars. So we just got to get there. If you want more information about the sunsetting, you can go over to aka.ms/Halo360. They have a little more details there, but I think we covered pretty much the basics of what they mentioned.
It's a sad day.
Yeah, it was bound to happen. And it's, we got a year heads up about it, so that's nice.
True.
We had one fan fiction or a fiction Friday before the break that we didn't cover. So, DJ, you want to take that one real quick?
Sure. Used for a wide variety of functions, Covenant corvettes historically took part in surveying Forerunner reliquary sites and deployment of artifact retrieval teams to evade any defense measures. In the war against the humans, they were utilized in frontline combat.
Until we blew one up.
Yeah. Also, one of my favorite ships ever. Just, it's the fluidity of its shape, I think, just as a design was incredible. Although I'm pretty sure everybody would agree, most of the Covenant designs are pretty impressive.
They are. Although the Corvette, in a way, kind of looks like a bottle opener. Yeah,
it has multiple purposes in case there is a giant bottle of Forerunner Coca-Cola or something. Not a product endorsement.
I don't know. I've always been more of a fan of the carriers and the destroyers.
Yep. Which are all
not
incredible.
Not so much the frigates. They just look like a fish hook. I'm like, really? You couldn't figure out something better than that?
Honestly, they always reminded me of the Romulan ships from Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Yeah.
I mean, I just nerded out there, didn't I?
I felt the same way about those ships, too.
Yep.
I actually hadn't made that connection before.
Yeah. That's one of the things I loved about Halo, is there was a lot of inspiration and influence taken from really great, you know, cornerstones of sci-fi. You know, when you look at some of the original ships in Alien, when you look at Star Trek: The Next Generation and some of these other sci-fi, you know, strongholds and staples in the industry, and they came in and have taken a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and molded something new, and it was really, I thought that's one of the reasons I loved it.
Yep. And that actually reminds me, I did do my homework that was assigned to me by GT and DJ, and I did watch Event Horizon.
There you go. He'd never seen Event Horizon. And?
It was an okay movie until the end. It got a little weird at the end. It was very predictable.
Yeah. Just, you know.
I did like kind of the thought of like the ship coming a lot, like having a personality to it and the whole like mystery behind the gravity drive and what the blackness was that drove everybody crazy.
Also but known as Cortana in a bad nude.
You're not wrong. Definitely could tell it was old with some of the CGI.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
And how certain things pan, and it's like, oh, that's a very fixed angle. Oh, that's really messed up. And then it's like, okay, there's the transition from CGI to practical. But overall, it was an interesting movie. No nightmares.
See, there we go. Told you you'd be fine.
I slept fine.
There we go.
Yeah.
He's not a horror nut. We had to force him to watch Aliens.
there's like these milestones. We get to some reference that GT and DJ say, and it just goes completely over my head. And then they have this gaze of like, are you serious? Like, you call yourself a sci-fi person and you haven't watched these staples of sci-fi? And that's when I get homework.
Yeah, it's that realization that we've failed you as your friends by not forcing you to watch these things.
And the next one on my list is Resident Evil.
Yes. That's a baseline.
There's quite a few of those, though. There's got at least like 8 or something.
Yeah. They are amazing.
The first two are the only ones that really matter.
Yeah. They are amazing bad movies. But that's what's... Yeah. They're amazing bad movies. And that's what I love about them. You don't watch it for the quality. You watch it because you're a Resident Evil fan, but also it's just that, huh, yeah, they just did that. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not OG RoboCop bad, but it's good.
Oh yeah, they're not even that. They're not even in the same class now, TJ. Come on.
Right, there you go. There you go. So
I did see RoboCop.
I haven't seen RoboCop the entirety of the first RoboCop. Made it to
Amazon Prime's free list.
Oh. You're kidding.
So if anybody wants to watch them, and really, never mind.
I haven't seen those movies in so long. I wonder how well they hold up.
They don't.
I haven't seen the first one in its entirety. I don't even know if I've seen the second one, but I've only seen like bits and pieces of the first one.
I only saw the new
one. Trust me, you haven't seen
the new one. What'd you think of the new one?
I honestly don't even remember what I think of the new one. I think I saw it on an airplane or something.
Oh. So you got the edited version.
Must have not been that memorable, unfortunately.
Yeah, the new one is okay. It was better than the originals, but it's still,
Peter Weller will always be RoboCop.
What once through is enough.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, and Pins brought up an interesting point. There are a lot of big names in there, like Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh yeah,
Sam Neill.
Oh, in Event Horizon. Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of really big names back in the now it's 1994,
seven,
97. Yeah.
Jason Isaacs, I recognize. Kathleen Quinlan. So, yeah, lots of people like, oh, wow, this is a star-studded cast for this movie. Oh, yeah. Yes, Bobby. Halo Universe Tangents turned the podcast sci-fi movie show. Well, that's what happens when apparently I'm not well-versed within the sci-fi realm. So,
and you know me, being focused is not what I'm good at.
So, did my homework, got that done. So let's move on to some of the community stuff. We'll breeze through that. So Plague Griffball, obviously we had the pin, Halo, cross Plague Griffball 4v4 AGLA tournament.
Yep. So the winners of the team.
Was a great success.
It was a great success. So I included 4 Astro A10 headsets from Astro Gaming. And we threw that out to the winners on top of the $250 split for their entire team. Plus, the Wibbles Regressors team that walked away with the win. And Godless is actually a world championship title holder from RTX. So it was really neat to watch some of the OGs come back from Griffball Hub days and really kick it off and walk in and wipe the floor.
the nice thing was being able to see so many different competitors that I hadn't seen that have come back around in the last couple of years or who have been discovered in the last couple of years and really kind of gotten in with playgriffball.com and see the new tactics, new styles, and some of the new life that they've breathed into the community. Of course, if you are wanting to get involved in it, they currently have their signups for this next season, which is Halo 3 with the AGLA that is going on until tomorrow. If you'd like to know more, head on over to their website at playgriffball.com. You can find them on social media at playgriffball or just go into their Discord at discord.gg/playgriffball. And that's one F. If you spell it with two, I swear to God.
People it's not Griffball. It's Griffball.
Exactly. Every time I see Griff with two Fs, I cringe.
I don't. I unfollow.
Well, I mean, that works too, I guess. If that's your prerogative, that works, I guess.
It's one of those padding to the list. We're never going out. There you go.
Yep. So is the Halo 3 season for console or and PC?
No, it's crossplay. It's crossplay. Okay. Now with MCC crossplay, doesn't matter whether you're using controller or keyboard and mouse. And I know I'm one of the oddities. I'm the keyboard and mouse guy. I do so much better in video games as a whole with keyboard and mouse than I ever did on controller.
I need to start playing exclusively with mouse and keyboard to try to get my coordination back up to where it used to be like so many years ago. Like,
I have them sitting here. I just don't actually ever use them.
But what I don't like, well, I guess there's plenty of ways to train your aim in like mouse and keyboard. It's just I'm more of a controller player as well, but recently I've been trying to make the switch, so I'm trying to play Apex. The thing is, Apex doesn't have a mode like how Halo has Octagon, where I can just play Octagon for hours and hours and hours. Apex has the firing range. The firing range is like kind of boring, though I have been spending hours in there just trying to shoot targets. I want that. Like, that's the thing is, like, I feel like Octagon and like Halo's game modes is what's really going to get me cracked on mouse and keyboard. It's just I can't seem to find that equivalent. You can download like an aim trainer, but it's just not as fun.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Let me make a suggestion to you.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what your layout was before I really got into multiplayer of any kind with Halo. I was a COD player. So for me, fish sticks, I know everybody in the room just cried on the inside. I play with fish sticks if I play controller. For me, is that when I made the transition from Xbox to PC gaming, it worked better for me if I got into a game that I had already played, not multiplayer, but a campaign, something that I knew the mechanics of with the controller so that it was easier for me to start reassociating what things do and how to do it, being able to, you know, rotate your strafing and really feeling out how it goes, because when you're working against NPCs in a PvE environment and not having to worry about anybody clocking you and dropping you while you're trying to figure out what's the best way to get it going. What I found that I liked better about it was a more immersive experience because I could whip my head to the right and look back and see what's happening there as I'm taking on enemies in front and do a quick with the sticks. Unless your sensitivity is at 10-10-5, which is what I played Griffball at, you go back and you're doing this instead of going right back to where you were. Whereas with the mouse, you get a little bit of a more controllable. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I think I do better on keyboard and mouse than I ever have on controller. But it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out in the competitive circuits as you go, because some people are going to say, hey, I want to play keyboard and mouse. And how that balance goes is going to be very telling with where the community is going to fall in line in that.
It's going to come down to aim assist again. The whole aim assist debate is... It all depends on what they do with Infinite. I know we had the debate basically with Reach came down to the fact that people are saying aim assist was too strong, so mouse and keyboard wasn't viable, though the game wasn't necessarily popular enough for people to really put the time in. And they would say that apparently it was tuned to like Xbox 360 levels of aim assist or something. So in Infinite, we might get something different. I don't know. I think we're still going to get that aim assist discussion, though, come right back. With Halo. Thankfully with Halo, though, I think with Halo over pretty much any other shooting game, I think Halo can work between mouse and keyboard and controller. Like I think controller is viable there. If you put almost any other shooter, I think controller kind of struggles, personally. But,
Well, I remember playing Halo CE and Halo 2 on PC back in the day, and that's how I got into Halo in the first place. And I don't remember really that big of a difference from running across people that were on mouse and keyboard versus controller. Now, granted, it wasn't necessarily the competitive side of things, so it might not have been too much, but I would go back and forth between mouse and keyboard and controller, and I'd like my skill range was pretty much the same. Like, I'd perform about the same in going into matchmaking and going into lobbies for Halo CE for PC. So, like, I feel like it's been accomplished before in Halo, but for some reason, like, the dynamic of melding PC features and Xbox 360 features, maybe there's just not a great mix there for MCC. So,
yeah, we need the real test where the game is popular and everyone is grinding to be the best, whether like regardless of peripheral. I think we haven't quite had that yet, right? Like, Halo Reach is like only people who cared about Halo Reach back in the day want to go back and you know, try to compete again. Most people who are just playing current games, they're not going to jump back and try to figure it out now. Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. You know, I play Destiny, and I play Destiny on PC, and I use a controller. So I'm matching against keyboard and mouse players because I can see it in their movements. It's very obvious in their movements. And when they had skill-based matchmaking, that was, you know, back when I actually enjoyed PvP in Destiny, I would, you know, I did not see an advantage at my skill level between controller and keyboard and mouse, because I would typically pretty much have about the same finishing order in my games. You know, I would get better and I would move up and I'd play more difficult opponents. And then, you know, I'd drop back down a little bit. Then I'd get a little bit better and I'd move up another bracket. But I mean, one thing I just, you know, I don't know what it is. And it's probably because I've never been a typer. You know, I've never done any actual, taken any typing classes or anything. I still hunt and peck when I use a keyboard. So, you know, it's never become anything very natural to me. So I have trouble with the, you know, using keys for my movement. Something I came up with is I've got this little nunchuck, which basically it's an analog stick that takes care of my movement. And then I can still use
that was the one keyboard. You asked me about actually, Alex.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Cause I think that's kind of the ultimate way to play personally is you don't even need that. You could just take half an Xbox controller and you'd be good with that.
That's pretty much about what this is.
Yeah.
This is basically the D-pad and the thumbstick off of a controller with, you know, the left trigger.
Right. Yeah. You got an extra trigger there or something. You got a couple extra buttons.
Well, one
you have shoulder buttons on there.
You have one shoulder button. This other button is some programming thing that it allows you to reassign keys. In other words, it's a waste.
Hold that up again.
What's up,
Triway? What exactly did I just see?
My controller.
Yes, the buttons.
Yeah, so it's the controller itself. I'm just waiting for it to come up on the stream, which is like 5 seconds away. This is a standard Xbox controller. I bought it at a Microsoft store, but it's a Cinch. It was upgraded by Cinch, which is it's C-I-N-C-H. They're basically like Scuf or Elite. They added 4 buttons onto the bottom of it.
Oh.
Bruh, that right there is the way it should have been done on the Elites in the first place.
Yeah, screw the paddles.
Well, okay, so
I'm sorry.
The convenience with the paddles is you take them off, you put them back on. They're, you know, it's up to your own customization. So I understand that. But personally, I would have to agree in that the paddles, I have the original Elite. I've got like literally 8 controllers behind me. So don't get me started.
I know. I've been eyeballing them this entire time. That's what I keep staring at. I'm like, I think I know which one that one is.
I have like another 12, like actually on a shelf, like right beside me. But most of them are broken because I've gone through so many.
Right.
I don't have the paddles connected here, but the issue with the Elite paddles is, yeah, they're huge. You put that thing down in your lap, you're going to press all of them at the same time. They're easy to press as well.
I got one here.
They're a little cumbersome. What I like about these is they don't take up much space on the controller. So I rest my hand on it naturally like I would hold the controller normally. And they have a little bit of resistance when I press them. And they also feel fast response when I hit them too. Like I feel like I don't have to change the way I hold the controller, my grip or anything. And I don't know. It's comfortable for me and it's quick and convenient. So I've been liking that, but I have a Battle Beaver in the mail actually. So I'm going to be trying that one soon. We'll see how that is. That's a similar design as well. I'm kind of obsessed.
The button designs are really, I'm loving them. Especially when you consider it's a direct input. You're not going through a little rubber stopper that's going, because you...
That's the issue with these scuff.
Yeah.
The scuff prestige. These things they're made of, and it's a cheap freaking plastic. I hate that.
Yeah, and it bends. And so you really have to grind it.
Yeah.
You really have to grind on it, and it becomes a problem because it wears out. Exactly. At least, you know, with the Microsoft ones, they were titanium. That was one thing that we never had returns at the store for anything about the paddles. Yeah. It was other things. But
I honestly like the paddles on the Elites because I've actually had a Battle Beaver controller, and I pushed the button so hard it would leave dents in my fingers.
Wow.
Yes.
Tried breathing.
But I'm holding a controller then? And I'm really into the game. I have a firm grip on the controller.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't really say anything. I've got permanent dents in my thumbs from the first time I ever rolled through Spyro the Dragon on the first PlayStation, and I beat it in 17 hours. And I didn't stop playing for 17 hours, and the little spots on my fingers have never come back.
Tell me you guys got the giant blister in the palm of your hand from Mario Party. That's, I feel like everybody has that one, though. Bowser Tug of War. There's a Bowser Tug of War game, and there's the Boo where you got to light up the light bulb, and you just spin the shit out of the control stick.
Mine's actually from Gran Turismo.
With a
D-pad and the two buttons.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Apparently, I'm not gamer enough. I don't have any missing skin from my fingers.
Oh, it's no missing skin. It's permanent indentations in thumbs.
Yeah. Right. You can tell my fingers are different shapes, different spots from controllers for so many years.
Exactly. You build up calluses, right? Like my middle finger has like a hump on the side of it because of how it's pushed up against the side of the controller over such a long period of time. Yep. It just built up a thick callus, and it now I got like a bend to the side. I mean, you probably don't see it very well from here, but yeah, it's like my knuckle looks swollen.
There's like that. There's a decreased sensitivity there. Also, it's like I get stung by a bee and I wouldn't know it.
It's like playing guitar, right? All your fingers, whatever the areas are that are, you know, they're building up calluses. Yeah, yeah. Crazy.
There's fire ants. Quick, stick my controller finger in there. I won't feel it.
I'm going to follow up later with you and get some more info about the ones with the buttons on the back. Because I was with you. I'm the same with you. The whole paddles on the back, I would hit them all the time and just press them when I didn't want to. Like in the heat of moment.
I find the Elite also kind of, it wants you to use your third finger as well. So you're using middle and third finger, which, do you guys do that? I don't know if you use your middle for both.
I only use two paddles for my stick presses. So I use all four.
And I kind of like that. Like when I use all four buttons, my middle finger just kind of slides between the two. I don't have to like also have like, my whole hand had to like.
Yeah. If I had to do this, I would never.
Something I did do is I only use the small paddles. I took the big paddles off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bought another set of paddles. I would still hit it.
But I use the small paddles, and the way it sets, my fingers just set right on them. And it forces me to kind of grip the controller like this so that I'm not, squeezing the paddles.
Accidentally hitting them. Yep. Yeah. Same for me.
The ergonomics of the controller.
And with the Elite Series 2, I can actually set it down on the desk and it won't push any buttons.
Yep.
Those are nice. Heavy boys too. They're the Elite.
Yes, they are. I really wish they would have had the integral battery. That is my only complaint about them.
Yeah. On top of the buttons, I've got the rumbles removed out of this guy. So it's super light. Like, they're like, well, I mean, maybe even too light. Like my brother's picked it up and he's like, yeah, this is like too light for me. I want some weight. Yeah. I don't know.
Do you use the charging stand, GT?
Huh?
Because it came with a charging stand.
Yeah.
Your Elite 2. Yeah. You just sit it on there and it self charges. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That thing. Yeah.
But yeah, I can even That's set what I like it, about but it. I can just set it flat on a desk too. And it doesn't touch the paddles.
The paddles. Yeah. A couple quick things before we move on to the main event of the podcast. 4chub came out with their December community favorites, so feel free to go over to the website or their YouTube channel to check that out. Crispus has his latest blog post titled 117 Things I Love About 343's Halo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Only 117?
Little snippets. Yeah, 117. And while we were snoozing over the break, all the rest of the podcasts were going crazy. So ACS Pro Talk has 4 episodes. Podcast Evolve has 3 new book club episodes plus 2 other ones. Finish the Fight had three more, and they're actually now a gaming podcast. They've kind of exhausted a lot of their Halo stuff, and they wanted to expand into new territory. So now they are they're finished the fight, a gaming podcast instead of a Halo podcast. And their latest episode is actually on Destiny.
I have to check that out.
Fans out there. Yeah. And then Sacred Icon Halo also had four episodes, and Forward Unto Dawn had one as well, welcoming on CIA from Halopedia and Nakia from Covey Cannon, which we are actually having him on for our next podcast. I will be interviewing him this weekend for next week's show.
Cool.
So stay tuned for that. So now that we've gotten through all of our updates over the holidays, it's time to point our podcast direction towards Shiway. So
the man of the hour.
Regretting this? You regretding your decision yet to come on?
Depends on what you ask me.
So I'm going to start off, and then we'll just kind of go around and let DJ and GT chime in with their questions. But I want to know first is, and you kind of touched on this a little bit when we asked you your first couple of questions, but what is it about Halo that really got you into doing the analysis, and what really drives your mindset in breaking down and analyzing plays and different strategies for Halo?
Well, one of the beautiful things about Halo is it just has such a deep skill gap, an incredible skill gap, right? And many games do, but Halo specifically, like, there is such a dramatic difference between a beginner player and an experienced player. And I think one of the big reasons why Halo's skill gap is so noticeable, so prominent, is because of the shield system in Halo. Most other games, you've got, like Call of Duty, you just spray them and they're dead instantly. So you don't have too much time to really outplay or outmaneuver your opponent. A lot of it comes from your initial positioning, and that's the analysis there. The beauty of Halo is you can take on two people, three people, whatever. If you got the right tools or the right, you know, timing, you can just outplay them with your movement and survive and just escape these situations. And it's this dance. It's this really cool dance. And as somebody who loves micro mechanics, like I said, I played a lot of Melee, and Melee is all about the micro. When I watch Halo, especially Halo 5, and I see these players pulling off these crazy maneuvers, they're spring jumping and thrust sliding and stabilizing. It's because of the perfect timing of that stabilize, he managed to reach this ledge, or he managed to land this peak shot or something that he wouldn't have been able to hit, whatever. That's kind of what really grabbed my attention and what really, you know, got me excited to talk about it. I already kind of mentioned to you, I gave the whole analysis thing a try during that show, and realized I kind of had a knack for it. So I tried to apply it to Halo, and it just kind of worked out. But I think hopefully that kind of answers it.
Yeah, I think you touched on a really defining part of Halo, which I think a lot of folks have pointed out before, is the skill gap, and definitely the shields add a different kind of level of play, because, like you said, you can have one person really take on a couple of people, if not an entire squad, if they have the right tools for the job, and the shields kind of play to that, where other first-person shooters don't really have that kind of mechanism involved.
I guess what I'll also say is it was the micro mechanics of the game that really pulled me in. But as I started to make this analysis content and started to build a following, I had amazing people reach out to me and offer me more insight on the strategy side of Halo as well, which is something that I was a little weaker on. Big shout out to someone named Callis, who is a Halo coach. He's a competitive Halo coach. And he taught me a lot about the macro side of Halo. And there's a very deep strategy to Halo, of course. I've spent more time invested in that as well. And that's exciting to break down also. So there's just that's the beauty of Halo, is it's just a very deep game, and you don't notice it all when you're just watching it. You don't understand it. And the hope for me is that I can explain it in a way that is not only understandable and respectable to somebody who's a pro player, who's part of the scene, but understandable and engaging to someone who's completely outside of Halo and outside of gaming in general. I want it to be something that somebody takes a double take at. They're like, damn, this seems interesting. Like, this guy's really explaining it in a way that speaks to me.
Yeah, I've kind of coined you as the next upcoming Walshy, because that was one thing that Walshy was really good at. Kind of after his MLG days, was really, and still with all the stuff that he does with casting, with official events and whatnot, is really taking the time, even during games, to break down the strategies that teams are employing to take good positions or prepare themselves for the next objective, whether it's a capture or a hill or trying to get the next set of power weapons. And really being able to break down, like you said, what's happening at that macro level of the game. What's that strategy that's being employed by the team at a team level, but also an individual level, and all that chaos, that's controlled chaos that's going on in that mechanic of the game.
Well, and I think also,
just to say, a huge Walshy fan, so very flattering. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I think one of the reasons that's so important, and having heard you cast, is that you explain it in a way, you articulate it in a way that people who may not have an HCS or an esports background can understand. It is comprehensively appropriate so that you're not using excessive amounts of advanced jargon, but you are explaining it in a way that is feasible and relevant to what's going on the map at that time. And
thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's one of the things that I can tell good casters, and there's casters that I don't want to listen to because everybody's got their thing that they like. Some people really prefer the high level technical. Some people prefer the color. I like the good combination and banter back and forth, but I want to be able to watch esports and be able to walk into my kitchen and make a drink and come back, and everything I'm hearing continues to relay the story in my head so that I know what's happening on the field at that time in the game without question of what did I just miss. And it's something that you do very well. So
I think honestly it comes from some kind of an OCD or something. I'm very self-critical, and I'm kind of hard on myself sometimes, especially with my gameplay. But I have this need where like I want to provide value with the content that I make, with my casting, with everything. Which would mean that I use minimal filler words. I get right to the point. I'm as succinct and understandable as possible. And I'm very meticulous about it, especially with my content. I spend so much time retaking and retaking until I find that what I think is, you know, ideal way to explain something that is going to hold your attention and keep you engaged, but also give you value so you can understand it, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think for the most part, with having that mindset and that approach to casting and doing that analysis, whether it's either during the game or in between the breaks, really helps. Like DJ said, if you're new to Halo or new to esports in general, being able to break that down in layman terms and really get someone involved is something that is hard to really pinpoint, because for the most part, you get very technical into, okay, like you're expecting someone who's watching to know what's going on from a game type level, from certain movement mechanics, know how the weapons work. So, and sometimes that's a barrier to entry for people watching. So just kind of reiterating what DJ said, like your ability to kind of break that down and really make it easy for someone to really appreciate and really understand. And even the explainer videos that you've done, like the breakdowns for some of the plays and how you've explained like the slide jumps on your YouTube videos, really, really takes a lot of those complex concepts and boils them down so well. Like you really have a knack for that.
Yeah. I'm very meticulous. It's like an OCD, but it benefits you guys, thankfully. That's what I'm going to keep doing, I guess.
Yeah. We've also got some community questions, so I'm going to sprinkle those in here as we go. This is from Mending Mercy on Twitter. He said, what inspired you to do the breakdowns of plays, and what was it like when your first video blew up on Twitter in the Halo community?
Okay, so what inspired me, I don't know if there was anybody specifically who inspired me to get into it, though, unfortunately. I think it's more so other industries like sports and talk shows and stuff, and just seeing the stuff that they do there and wanting that to be applied to gaming, because there isn't really anyone who quite does what I do. I don't know if I'm like, I can't think of anyone at least who does exactly it.
I think that's a fair assessment. Just with, I mean, from what DJ and I have just kind of spat it out from us watching your work, you definitely fit that niche.
Yeah, so I'm still trying to figure that out myself.
You've hit a gold mine. You didn't even know where the gold mine is.
Well, you know, the moment when so he asked me about which video blew up, and the moment where I recognized that there really could be a gold mine here, I guess, is when Summit retweeted my breakdown of his gameplay. I saw Summit randomly decided to play Halo Reach. He's got a Halo background. And I decided to break down his Halo Reach clip. I'm like, I'm about to take a shot in the dark. I've been doing it with other Halo players, like Snipe Down. And this is kind of how I got my notoriety in the community, is I find a play from a high profile player, and I do my best to break down his play and earn their respect. They usually retweet it, let's say, or I get a follow. And then that gives me viewership. That's kind of how I got to where I am now. So the same thing happened with Summit, is I broke down his play, and then Summit was like, damn, this is really cool. So he followed me and he retweeted it. And then he came on my talk show, HCS Weekly. Next thing I know, HCS Weekly had like 8,000, 9,000 viewers. We held on to that for the show, which is wild to me. And that tweet is, I think, far and away my most successful tweet. I think it had was something like 150,000 views or something.
Wow.
Which is wild, yeah. So that's when I really kind of recognized there's potential here. I think I'm passionate about Halo, so I'm sticking with Halo right now. But sometimes I wonder I could just start breaking down Call of Duty plays or Apex plays, and who knows, you know, where things would go from there. But it felt amazing to get that kind of recognition for that breakdown, and I just can't wait to see people play Halo Infinite and to break down their gameplay and to see where things go from there. I really hope that it continues to kind of blow up.
Yeah, that would be great. You definitely deserve the recognition. You've put in a great work on it. I know you've been part of some of the official HCS stuff and a lot of community-led tournaments. It kind of actually leads into one of my other questions that I had for you. What's it like from a casting and analysis caliber for something that's, you're really getting into the competitive, like the top tier level play versus some of these smaller community led tournaments where it's like, do you cast differently because the skill plays a little different?
Definitely. So, no, it's not this level of skill, because there's definitely a lot of really high level tournaments we've been watching. The biggest thing is, So when I'm in front of a camera, I find that I turn into a different person. I don't know, and maybe DJ, you can relate to that in some stuff too. But I find that when I'm, the bigger the audience, the bigger the stage, the experience, I really come into my own. This is a whole other dream and a passion of mine, is there's just something about standing in front of an audience of like thousands of people and getting them hyped up, getting them energized about something. There's a feeling that I get from that that's like nothing else. But I find, yeah, when I'm in front of those cameras, when it's a real production, I am not Alex anymore. I'm Shyway. I'm this ideal being that persona. I think I need to be for this community in this moment, you know? So I definitely think it's very different when I'm up there. That's why I miss being up on the stage. It just pulls a side of me out that I don't get to see and I don't get to experience very often. And I miss that. I crave it.
He's addicted.
I have an explanation too. I have a very good explanation for that. It's one of the reasons why radio was so boring for me, because there's nobody there. There's your technician and your producer, and then there is, if you have a guest or a co-host, and that's it. There's nobody else there. But when we're on the stage, when we are shoutcasting, when we are engaging with our communities, when we are engaged. Specifically, especially in an esport where you're passionate and what's happening in the action and you're just in the moment, I call it being powered by people. And the more you can engage and affect their energy, the more they're going to affect yours. When I'm DJing, it's the same thing. If I can get them hyped and get them pumped and get them jumping, I'm not standing still. I'm jumping, and it's really difficult to hit that button at the right time when you're jumping, but it doesn't stop me from jumping around. And even in my studio when I've been DJing on stream, it's the same thing. And that kind of energy is exactly what is important for casters to have. And you've seen it. You've seen Andy do it. Bravo. You've seen him when he gets going. When he gets going, it's wild and there's energy and it's crazy and it's fun and it's infectious. And it's a good thing. Anytime you can spread or emit that type of positivity to affect a crowd of people in a way that is going to not only make their experience more enjoyable, but also really help to back your own hype. It's a good thing.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. I completely agree with everything you just said. It's it gives me an energy. I become the best version of myself all of a sudden. My mind's moving like miles a minute. I didn't even realize that I'm working so hard. That's the thing with these broadcasts is, you get up at like 9 a.m. and then 12 hours go by and you spend the whole day. I'm drinking like two or three monsters or something by the end of it. It's terrible.
Dude,
terrible.
DreamHack Atlanta last year. Good Lord.
Oh, my.
Bro, that was.
Jeez.
DreamHack Atlanta last year. We didn't stop until. Yeah, I mean, half the con was already taken down on finals night by the time we finished.
It was nuts.
Well, yeah, and some of the Halo events, they go on for hours. Like, you don't know sometimes if there's going to be a series reset or, I mean,
yep.
Lately, like, technical issues with some of the equipment.
What year was it? We had five ties in a row.
Xbox Live goes down. Oh.
God, that was, I want to say that was Halo 4. There were five ties.
I feel like I remember what you're talking about, but I don't remember
exactly. There were like exactly five tie games in a row.
Oh, yeah. It was H2A. It was on the Sanctuary remake, Shrine.
Oh, that's right.
Between CLG, I think, and the what was it? Noble Black and CLG.
Yeah, and it went on forever.
That was a hell of a series. That's a whole era of Halo that I wish I was a part of and I missed out on. I'm you know, thankful to be part of this now. It's just, it's wild that I kind of like jumped in. But yeah, man, there's so much hype. I wish I got to see the MLG days, like the golden era days, you know? Pretty crazy.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, when you get involved really with the competitive Halo scene?
2018.
Okay. Oh, you're kind of fresh, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird, man. Like it really did get rolling quickly. I'm honored to be in the position that I'm in.
Yeah.
That's so weird because like,
I didn't know anybody before March 2018. It was like, that's pretty much it. Or Martin Ohms,
which is like
Toronto community.
Interesting.
Right. But it's like, at this point, it seems like we've known you for so long, but if it's, at this point, it's only been 3 years. It's like,
yeah, pretty much.
Like I've known about you almost since you've got your, like when you put your foot in the door, really.
So wait, did we meet at Worlds 2018?
That was my first event. Atlanta 2018 was my first Halo event. That was, or the first big event, because I had one in Toronto before.
That's right. No, I met you at DreamHack in Atlanta.
Yeah, DreamHack Atlanta 2018 would have been, and I didn't have a role there. I was there with UGC through HCS Weekly, yeah. And I was just hanging out. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because wow. I was there with the Globetrotters and doing it for Outpost.
Yeah.
That's wild. That's hilarious. So I've known you for all of your events. That's cool.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's crazy.
In March 20, I think it was like March or February 2018, I had something called EGLX in Toronto, mm-hmm. Canada. So when I actually really tried to join the community was towards the end of like summer, fall 2017 in Toronto, in Microsoft stores, they had something called Greater Toronto Halo. I'm sure you guys have heard of Greater Toronto Halo.
Yes.
That was actually the moment where they became most popular and everything was ramping up. I jumped in these stores. I had past experience from Smash Bros. Commentary, from other stuff that I had done in the past, that I said, I came in, I said, hey, can I do some casting with you guys in the Microsoft store and just play and whatnot. So that's how I kind of got to know Martin Ohms and Stress and Druck and a lot of those like local players. And then EGLX rolled around the next year and Martin gave me a gig. So my first casting gig in like a more of a proper event in Canada was with Walshy, Nighty Knight, and Wonder Boy.
Oh, nice combo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice combo. And Walshy's so easy to work with.
If we could ever get Walshy on the show, that'd be
cool.
That'd be another like way out there dream.
Fun fact about Walshy, he's such an easy guy to be friends with though, but fun fact about him is he's actually a big Melee fan. And this was how we kind of like bonded when I first met him was we started talking about Melee. He's like, oh, you like Melee? And I was like, yeah, I love Melee. Like I'm like pretty competitive with it. And we went and found a setup in EGLX and he plays Marth. That's his main. And we played some games for a bit. People would like crowd around us like while she playing Smash. Yeah, it was really geez. Cool.
Gosh, that reminds me of those MLG days where like even after you're done
go play Melee.
On the floor for that day, you go back and play in your hotel room.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. They kind of shared stages in the past, right? So it makes sense that he probably jumped back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Those were the days, man. Yeah. GT, you have a question?
No, you keep stealing the good ones.
So
DJ, you got one?
Oh yeah. And this,
all right, go ahead.
So for me, I think the moment that I realized that I wanted what I wanted to do when it came to shoutcasting esports, especially when it came to my involvement with Halo, was when Pistola ended up coming in second at Worlds. And I believe that was 2014, 2015.
I think you're right. 14.
14.
Pretty sure it was 14.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was watching on the TV upstairs and I was. Watch, and I believe it was on actually G4. G4 was on, was still going back then. And so I know it was Golden Boy and Bravo. And that became my focus. I wanted to meet them and talk with them. And I really started paying attention with what I was doing in broadcasting, because I had some sports shoutcasters that kind of were who I framed my sound after and kind of how I wanted to deliver things. So when it comes to those types of influences, the professional side of the casting, when you look at your style and how you have crafted it to make it your own, what was that first moment that you heard someone shoutcasting and it clicked? And how has that shaped the evolution of your style and your personality on screen?
Damn. Good question. I don't know what the first moment was, though, because there were a lot of like big moments for sure. Like the Puckett, Chris Puckett top tens was definitely very memorable for me. Like that was always something I really loved watching. I kind of came up on Smash Bros. So there were a lot of like Smash comments. Smash is very different, though. It's more conversational and fun and stuff. So like, I don't know if you've seen the Wombo combo video, Waffles, that commentator. He's wild and not somebody I could ever really emulate. But that guy was always fun. I listened to him. Golden Boy was definitely an inspiration for me as well. Not necessarily because of his casting, but more so his work ethic and his personality, his kind of relentless, charming personality. Yes. And his retrospectives that he does. I found his retrospective super inspiring, where he, at the end of the year, he gets a graphic and he puts together all the events that he's been a part of and where he's been and where he's impacted and whatnot. And I remember looking at like his like 2017 or 2018 retrospective, and he hit like 40 or 50 events or something crazy. And I was just like, wow, you know, that would be pretty incredible if I could, you know, travel around the world and host events for different games just like that. Definitely saw that inspiring. And then recently, as far as like who I'm listening to really kind of like pick up some skills when it comes to casting, I'm listening to a lot of Merc and Maven from Call of Duty. They have such a chemistry with each other, and Maven and the way that he throws his voice around and the his comedy, but also just there's like it's gonna sound weird to say this, there's like a manliness to the way he carries himself, you know, like he's like a rough kind of gritty kind of, it's the way he throws his voice. Yeah, so I'm trying to pick up and apply a little bit of that, because comedy's been this one area where I feel like I don't think I struggle there, but I just don't think I have the same kind of knack for it that I do with other aspects like analytics and whatnot. So comedy I really want to get a grasp of, so I'm definitely watching, you know, people like Maven and trying to pick up some things. Yeah.
Awesome.
There you go.
That's a good thing. Comedy comes eventually once you get relaxed into just, it's there. I don't know what I would do if I wasn't on camera. So I'm just always on camera.
Basically.
But yeah, the comedy will come into play. It's just not being afraid of the things that you don't filter.
You really got to stop forgive me for swearing, but I want to say you got to stop giving a right. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's when it becomes funny, right? And that's the thing that I'm starting to learn more and more of. And it's starting to happen as I get older and I start to lose my hair and I'm just like, screw it, man. Like, it's not going to.
Right.
Okay. I got to stop caring and worrying about. At some point, I think when you stop caring and then everything just becomes funny, you become, you know, that person you were worried about becoming all along. You gotta stop worrying. That's my biggest thing too with my videos, is they take so long to make because I'm so worried about how I'm saying things, or like if I mess up the phrasing of like one term or whatever, I like retake the whole thing, and some of that's got to stop, you know.
Yep.
We're human.
Yep.
Well, and I mean, I think DJ can say this from experience. I know for me personally, that's been one of those things. When I first started doing the podcast, I know I stuttered all the time. Like going back, and we're uploading some of our old podcasts now to YouTube to let that be another option for people to listen. And I just cringe at the way that I used to speak.
Yeah.
And it just comes with time and practice. And it takes 10,000 hours to become an expert at something.
Definitely.
I have specifically not deleted my VODs and clips from back when I was a partner on Twitch originally, before I left for Mixer. Because that is the original point of order and the point of origin. And I like watch them going, well, let's not do that again.
Yeah.
I think everyone has that.
Yeah. But they this keep you humbled in that sense of.
Do.
Right. Yeah. Yep. It's a good way of always keeping yourself in an air of, all right, well, still learning, working on it. Let's go.
There you go.
It's interesting when I go back to my old, because all my old videos are still there. They're not that old, but it seems like I grew up in like 2 years or something. Like I was literally like, my older videos, like I'm 26, 27 years old. Now I'm just about to turn 29. And my voice sounds significantly lower now than it did back when I started only like 2 years ago. It was like, I went down, I don't know. I've changed. Like I sound like a child all of a sudden, but I haven't aged much. You know what I mean? Like I hit my, I guess we're always kind of, your voice kind of takes longer to develop or something, but I don't know.
Always something going on.
Biologically, yeah. We like males usually hit their final stage of like the final stage of puberty usually hits right around between 21 and 24. So yeah, if you listen to my, like there, no, I used to have a much higher voice than this, although I still scream really loudly. And very high pitched.
Squeaky DJ.
Good to have a range. You got to have a range, is what I'm realizing. Too. Yeah, you don't want to just always squeak, be. Squeak,
squeak. Well, something else I found.
We were all squeakers at some point.
We were.
Speaking for yourself.
Yes, we were.
I was always a baritone. Anyway, yeah. I have noticed, even with my own speech, that because I, for the longest time, I listened to the podcast, even though I was on them. So I could kind of pay attention to what my voice was doing. And I've noticed that as I've paid more attention in enunciation, that the pitch of my voice has changed as well. You know, I
think part of that just has to deal with you're presenting yourself in a different way. So like for me, I know whenever I go back and I'm editing the podcast, I'm finding parts where I'm either stuttering for some reason or saying, try to make a mental note of, okay, you just try to stop doing that.
Right.
And like you were saying, too, shall we, once you get into a rhythm where you feel comfortable and nice and not giving a care, really like just kind of going with the flow, it becomes more natural and you start to develop that character and that presentation. And it does change you.
Embracing your flaw, embracing your features. Their features.
There you go.
Bobby was mentioning how Bobby cringes about thinking about their laugh. And I'm like, listen, my laugh sounds like a cross between the Joker being slapped with a hyena. It's obnoxious, it's loud, and it's relatively, wow, did that just come out of a person's face hole? And yet, I can't really change it, so it just happens. See? There we go.
Yeah. Another question that I had kind of lined up for you, too, is you've worked on a number of different projects. You mentioned HCS Weekly is something that you said before the show that you're hoping to start back up again. That was a weekly competitive-focused show. You had Halo Game Sense as well, which is kind of a official partnership in a way with 343. And a couple other side of kind of projects as well. Do you have anything kind of coming down the pipeline, or are you kind of sticking with still trying to just cast more and find more events to get involved with, or are there other avenues that you're looking to kind of branch out with either kind of leading up to Infinite or post Infinite after you see kind of what the dust settles with?
First off, Game Sense, I absolutely love, and I need to do more of it. Like I would love to be doing it on a regular basis. The issue is that just the way it's set up right now is I'm working with Muggsy. And Muggsy's super talented. He's one of the best editors I've ever seen. He's taken my work and turning it into like my dream, kind of analysis. But he is swamped. The man's busy. He's doing so many different things. So it's hard to kind of line things up and get consistent episodes. I really do think that, especially the last episode of Game Sense, the more recent one, the production value on that one was amazing, I think. And if that continues and that comes out for Infinite, I am confident that is going to blow up in a huge way. Also because Halo is comfortable with putting that on their main accounts too. That was a big milestone for me too, is it's on their Instagram, Game Sense, along with their Twitter. And I think they're supposed to still be uploading it to YouTube as well. So it's a dream to be doing those breakdowns. Those are literally the ideal breakdowns I want to be making. Basically, actually, I guess the dream would be to have a studio built around what I do. So I get like a real high production value type thing. Like right now I'm just on a webcam on a green screen. That's kind of it's a nice step in the right direction. So definitely want to do more of that. Muggsy actually just messaged me recently about doing not Game Sense, but something called Cliptrocity, which is another thing that I'm working with him on as well. So I'll be doing more of those where you get the top plays. He puts all the top plays together and I break them down kind of like Chris Puckett style, but I take my own spin on it or whatever. So I'll be doing one of those soon as well. I do want I've been thinking about potentially branching out, and I've got my family that nags me about branching out all the time because they see what I'm doing with Halo, and they see, you know, that while they're proud of me, they see that it's not, they're a little worried, you know, because it's not, you know, making the dedicated income that I think a bigger, more populated game would, you know, allow for me. So there's that pressure for sure. And also, you know, I recognize that too, but I kind of love Halo. I don't know. It's hard to kind of break from it. And part of me thinks that if I put all of my dedicated focus and energy in Halo and I manage my time effectively, I can still blow up in Halo. It doesn't have to be anything else. You know, I can kind of stick to my guns. So part of me is thinking I just grind even harder. I have goals as far as my gameplay with my live stream. So I want to continue to improve and become more of a force as a gamer as well. So I got to keep that up. But with my breakdowns, just try to get that onto more of a consistent schedule through the game sense, but also in my own way. I do esports arena, for example, as well. Like that's going to continue on Sundays. So I'm thinking, is there a way I could do a breakdown component on a weekly basis with the esports arena in tandem with the esports arena events and really blow those up? You know, it might be kind of cheesy and self-centered to say this, but part of me believes that if I work hard enough and dedicate myself, I could kind of become the face of Halo. I mean, there's many faces, but I think I could become a true leader in this space by the time that Infinite gets there, if I really dedicate myself to it. So part of me is thinking that should be the goal. That's where I want to kind of aim myself, so that when Infinite does land, I'm right there at the helm with whoever else wants to share the space with. I'm not saying I got to own the space.
Right, right.
But
I think you're well on your way with
it. Thank you. Yeah. So I'm kind of trying to figure out a way to manage my time a little better is the focus right now. So I have a different thing that I'm doing every day of the week, and I'm constantly outputting stuff in different areas, you know, through my Twitter, my YouTube, my Twitch, and everything else.
Diversifying.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, I came from Smash, and I can break down Smash. So I could do that. I understand COD, Apex enough to make some breakdowns on it. So that's always kind of in the back of my mind. Like I've had this COD clip back from like March that I saw that inspired me, and I kind of put off doing a breakdown on it. Next thing I knew, you know, it was fall the next year, new COD's coming out. But that's always on, you know, a thought that I could at some point attempt it and break down like a scump play or break down like a, you know, another big player in another game and see how they react to it and see if that really kind of pops up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might happen.
Just kind of, yeah. Yeah, I'd be curious to see if it really kind of takes off for you. I know there can be a little bit of a like, depending on the audience that you have, could either be like if you're deviating away from a game, then it's like, oh, we don't want to see this. But they're
sure.
Like, depending on what your audience is, maybe they would love it. Maybe it's like, right. Okay, maybe not everyone's as excited about another game, but that's a whole other fan base that you could get. And if, like, just look at what happened to Golden Boy. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
I think he started COD, right? And then he came over to Halo or Gears or something like that. And then, like, he's doing all of this crazy stuff. So it's,
yeah,
the potential's there.
Yeah.
Yep.
What I would try to do instead of just like make a YouTube video first, and because I know all my YouTube viewers are kind of expecting Halo, instead, the beauty of Twitter is I can make a short 2-minute analysis and throw it up on Twitter and see how that fares. And I could do that about anything.
Mm.
So I would start by throwing out little things onto Twitter and just seeing, you know, who latches onto them. And then maybe that could transition into something else. But that's probably where I would, you know, dip my toes, put the feelers out.
Certainly. Certainly. Let's see. Let's get a couple other quick ones. I want to get one big final question out before we wrap up. So let's speed run a couple of community submitted ones. I've lost that page. I need to figure out where that was. I've got one from Discord. This is from Tepec over from the French side of things. How do you feel about Halo Infinite's gameplay demo? Are you worried about the lack of clamber or slide? What are your hopes regarding advanced movement gameplay wise?
Clamber and slide are in the demo, first off.
Yeah. Right?
I know. Yeah, slide is, clamber is, so I don't know what that is. So
yeah.
Yeah, ignore that part, I guess.
Well, I mean, we don't know how they're going to work. I did spend a lot of time looking at the slide and how it might be different. The clamber could be nerfed. The range could be shorter on it. Like, we don't know exactly how it's going to work. As far as the gameplay demo, what we saw, I think it looks promising. I hope it's awesome. The thing is, with Halo, I am okay with advanced mobility. You know, like, the more mechanics, as long as the mechanics are well-balanced and they add to the skill gap, then I'm okay with having, you know, thrust and slide and sprint and all of this stuff, because it worked well in Halo 5. I just, you know, you'd have to see how it goes. So with Infinite, it looks like it's not going to be as deep and as, you know, mechanically challenging, I guess, or mechanically not challenging, but like it's asking for a lot from you, basically. I can't find the word. But it doesn't look like it's going to require as much from us mechanically. So I'm less enthusiastic about that aspect. But at the same time, you never know with Halo. Like there's always depth somewhere. There's always exciting things. Like we don't really know how the grapple hook's going to work, and how that's going to work with the slide and the other mechanics. So I feel like you never really know there. There could be a lot of cool depth there. So I'm optimistic. I'm not like ecstatic about anything. I think it looks cool. And I think it looks promising, and I'm optimistic, and I'm down to try it all. I'm going to spend a lot of time on it.
Come on, flighting. Yep. Hopefully we get a big flight window. Yeah.
But I don't know yet. I feel like we still haven't seen enough of it in action. And I also hope the thrust is still in the game. I like the thrust a lot. I feel like it would be kind of a blunder to not have it at all. I think it still might be there, just based off of the way the equipment seems to work.
Yeah, and we'll see if flighting... That's all I'm going to say.
Hopefully we get flighting, man. Jeez.
Yep. Kevin Kulek says, can we get a drum solo video? Do you play drums?
Yeah, I do play drums. I play drums and sax, actually.
Oh my God, I used to play sax.
Nice. Yeah. I went to art school in high school for saxophone, so it was like a major for me. They drilled it into me. And
which is your preferred sax?
Alto. I was all about alto. I still have one, actually. I gotta get it fixed, though. It's got an issue with it. But yeah, I used to gig, actually. I used to gig, do improv jazz. I did that in like when I was like 19 to 21. I would play like wine tasting because I had a girlfriend at the time a chef, and she would make all the food for the wine tasting, and I would come in and play with my friends.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time, honestly.
Maybe we can get a little ODST out of you.
Right?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
I got to get back into sax because, like I said, or like you guys asked about it, I play more drums now. I'm more focused on that. And drums is more self-taught. So I didn't have like the education background in it. And it's very much a personal thing for me. It's like when I want to disappear and get into my own world, it's an electric kit too. So I have earbuds and then I put headphones on top of that and I just disappear. You know, like I just become one with the music and the beat.
I become the drum.
That's great.
Oh, okay.
It's a cathartic experience. It's like a meditation. So I don't know if I would ever start making stuff around it, but maybe.
So, okay, then I have a question on that. Stick or hand?
Sorry?
Stick or hand when it comes to drumming. Because there are so many different types of hand drums versus strike drums.
Stick. I'm on stick.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
I actually have a few years ago, I was heavy, heavy into metal. Like, it's called Jet. It's a style of metal that's kind of like mathematical a lot of polyrhythms and a lot of double bass pedals. So I do a lot of complex rhythms on the double bass pedal, but now I'm listening to like EDM and hip hop and rap and all this stuff, but I'm doing
house music.
What I learned from my metal drumming and kind of applying that style in like a soloistic kind of form to hip hop and rap music. So I just kind of play over a bunch of stuff and whatever comes to mind. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. Very nice.
That's cool.
Very nice. It's kind of like gaming. It's very similar to gaming.
Yeah. Yeah, I get lost when I'm DJing. I start and I'm supposed to stop at 3 hours, and 7 hours later, I'm like, oh yeah, New Year's Eve.
Yep. Keys Halo, he was in here earlier. He might not be here anymore, but if he is, he can chime in on this one. He said, what goes through your head when you try to find or look for different creative ways to make jumps or use the abilities at hand to get around the map?
Well, first, it's going to come from your understanding of all the mechanics, right? So Halo 5 has a lot of different types of skill jumps and stuff. Like something that I've been more focused on recently is the slide. Halo 5 slide is insane. And I honestly, I hope some of it translates over to Infinite because there's a lot of incredible stuff here that I think would work really well in Infinite, even without the thrust. But so once you learn the mechanics, then you just start to, you know, apply it everywhere, right? Because the way the slide works is there's three different ways to slide on every ramp, basically. Like if you perfectly time a slide while running down it at the top of a ramp, you get like a launch. Or if you drop on the ramp and you got enough speed and you hit slide, like the instant you make contact, you get a drop slide launch. Or if you slide up a ramp over the top of the ramp and hold crouch down, you actually slide over it, pop yourself off the floor, land in crouch, and then spring jump. You can slide spring jump. It's hard to, obviously, I'm going to try not to explain too much to you guys now. But basically, now that I know that, every single, not even just a ramp, but every single slope surface that I can find, I will try to slide down it and up it and see if it pops me off, if it throws me out, whatever, and then see, think about whether or not I can use that in a game, you know, to some extent. Yeah. So I spend a lot of time. What you should do is just get on a map, play some music, and just jump around, you know, just whatever, wherever your creativity takes you. It's the same as drums and saxophone, right? You just kind of, it's a blank canvas and you take your knowledge of what you know about the mechanics and just jump on, you know, and until you find something that works well.
DJ, GT, any final questions for you before I ask my one big final question?
I have one.
Go ahead. Yeah, do your thing.
Favorite Halo campaign?
Either two or three. Definitely. Maybe. Like recently I've been playing Halo 2's campaign on PC and I was like, damn. I just realized how much I had been missing that experience. Like just something about the way that it slowly kind of unravels in front of you. Like the way they introduce a new weapon or new experience to you. I find that something about it is really a beautiful thing. I don't know how to explain it, but Halo 2, something was special about that. But then Halo 3, if I had to pick a campaign for cooperative play, I feel like Halo 3, I've got the best memories there, right? Especially when you got the four-player co-op going, like Halo 3, they got the best open sandbox environments and the vehicles and everything. It's it just hits different. I don't know. The campaigns in classic games are amazing. Yeah,
that's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know for Halo 2, it's Halo 2 for me just because of how the story plays out.
That too.
The story is just so good. Just like how the narrative gets expanded, being able to see like the Covenant side of things with the Arbiter. I miss that kind of storytelling where it's like you have both sides and they come together and they join up, and it's Halo 2 is mine for that reason. But you make a good point about Halo 3 having that co-op experience, because that was definitely a big thing, having to be able to do four player co-op and just all the crazy things that you could do with the engine and with all, like, having four people. So
Halo 3 just shattered everything, man. Like just the fact that it was like one of the first games to really have four player co-op in that fashion. And then, well, like we can go on forever, but the Forge and the file share and everything is just crazy, crazy. By the way, I haven't really been looking at chat, but a big thank you to Eric Ebu, by the way, who's been saying lots of nice things. Thank you for all the kind words. Also asked if I use the Spartan charge as a second thrust. And yes, I have, and I would, though the competitive playlist has taken out the Spartan charge, so I don't get to use it as much anymore. But definitely, back like in 2018, I would use it to get like camo and OS all the time. You jump thrust out, turn on a right angle, and just Spartan charge in and grab it. That shit was so sick. Yeah, so even Spartan charge ground pound, despite, I hate their destructive properties, but even they have depth that, like, if they were just movement abilities, I kind of like how they work in the sandbox as well. But as attacks, they're crazy. Anyway, I just wanted to say
a
couple nice people there at the mention.
everyone in here has been, sounds like they've gotten a good appreciation out of the way that you break down things. I've seen Bobby make a comment in here about a couple of things, pins as well. So yeah, I think you definitely have a good way of explaining things and really breaking things down that means a lot to everybody.
No, honestly, I just want to say thank you. It was really great getting a chance to finally actually chat with you outside of an event and not while we're running back and forth between cameras and sound checks and mic checks and analysis and, you know.
Like, oh, my time's up. Let's go.
There's food in the back. Quick, grab it while you can.
I miss that, though, man. I really hope that comes back because there's a different energy about that stuff. And we get into our circle outside the hotel and everybody huddles and talks and shares stories and stuff.
Yep.
Oh yeah,
finding the best, which whoever's hotel has the best bar in it.
Oh yeah,
the late nights,
the Austin, Texas event, right where we were outside South by Southwest, the Invitational. That I think will go down as my favorite event that I've been to so far.
Because that was so much fun, dude.
The vibes, man. It was so much fun, and you would just go outside, and there's South by Southwest. You just you walk around and just experience everything. But and also I didn't have a gig to do there, so I was just there to party. But yeah, that was a good time.
It's nice to have to not have to work sometimes. Actually enjoy it for a change.
Yeah, well, sure.
Yep. So my last big question is, even though we haven't really seen a lot of multiplayer gameplay, really not any for Infinite, based on what you've seen and analyzed with past Halo events and with Halo 5 and what you've really been able to break down, what's a couple of things that you've been thinking of that Halo Infinite could really benefit from to make the competitive scene? I hate to use the term revitalize, because I know like competitive for the past stuff through HCS, they've really tried to make a good case for having that going. But I guess really give that spark again to competitive Halo, continue to make it understandable for people that are just kind of coming in and out from the esports viewing perspective. Like, are there certain things that you've thought of? Like, if Halo Infinite could do this in this way, like, what are your top one or two things that you think could really propel competitive Halo and Halo Infinite?
Damn. Good question. I will also say that I have a video that I've been working on. I just finished recording that kind of talks about this, that'll be coming out on YouTube. It's talking about whether or not 2021 is going to be the year of Halo. I'm going to try to redeem myself for what I said in 2019. But so I talk about the campaign as well, though, and a bit about multiplayer. I mean, I think obviously, like, a big part is going to be, you're going to want to have like the content and stuff there too. Like, we don't know how it's going to play, like all the, you know, the weapons, how they're going to work, the maps, like hopefully they got good maps, like all that stuff I can't really speak to. But I think a lot of the game's potential and its success is going to come from the stuff outside of the game, actually, like 343, how agile they are as a company, I think is a big part of it as well. Like, that was one of the big issues with Halo 5, is Halo 5 wasn't really that bad of a game, even on launch. Like, it was a solid title. It's just, it didn't really have the greatest competitive settings. And for 2 years, they kind of, you know, said, we're going to do it our way. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. They kind of pushed away the pro feedback until they finally like listened. And then by the time they did that, you know, the game had already kind of died out, like it's lost a lot of its popularity. So I really hope that we can get more of a conversation going back and forth between the pro community and the devs. And I understand that they're going to want to release the game a certain way and that it should play the way that whatever their vision is, I guess, to start. But if things are like kind of horribly unbalanced or don't really work well in competitive, I hope they listen to that, especially things like glitches and stuff that needs to be patched as well. Like, it took them a while to patch some pretty big glitches. Like, there was the stick. Like, if you throw the stick at somebody and you push your body into a wall, you could take the stick off of your body and it like blew up in the wall. So I know Snipedown used that in a tournament one time. Like, people were surviving using glitches like that. Little things like that need to be patched quickly. You know, having like consistent content and stuff at the same time. So like, I know they're taking the service approach for the game, which is great. So hopefully it's going to work kind of like a Fortnite or Apex, where we've got seasons, we've got something to keep things fresh. And yeah, like I think it would be interesting to see how mechanics like the grapple hook and stuff work. And like, I hope that pros get to, you know, like test that out and apply it in different ways. And hopefully there's a whole like deep roster of equipment. People won't agree with me on this one, but hopefully there's more equipment items than just grapple hook and like other ways to kind of interact with
the game. Oh, I agree with you. Depth.
And 343 could even add more to that category in the future to continue to, you know, give some longevity to multiplayer. The other big areas though are just like how watchable the game is. Like, the spectator mode needs to be banger. Like, spectator mode, it needs to be like some godlike, like everything that we need there needs to work perfectly. So like, theater mode needs to be smooth and consistent with like precise fast forward rewind features. And if I, as an analyst, want to break it down, it looks like it works quickly. It's responsive. You know what I mean? So I can make my content in a really effective way. Cause Halo 5 kind of has the groundwork for it, but it has so many damn issues. And if it didn't have that, I think it would be more successful, especially Halo 5's observer mode, which has so many damn issues, especially with it's like server side hit detection or something. So the aiming isn't accurate. Like, if somebody's firing shots at a player, it looks like he's missing, and people think that's Halo 5's aim assist. It's just some ridiculous aim assist, like snapping on the players when they're missing.
And that's not what's happening.
That's not what's happening. It's just not it's not giving us an accurate representation of what those players are doing in game. And if we're having online tournaments and the observer mode works like that, Infinite will die like in a couple months, you know, like it needs to be clean and slick there. So I hope they don't, you know, skip over these areas. I hope they put dedicated time into ensuring that this game is a great viewer experience and a great casting experience. So like, people can run events easily and make quality events right out of what's in the game. So I think those are things that would really propel this title. And you know, if 343 are open to discussion and flexibility on what types of mechanics will work in competitive and what doesn't. So we can kind of figure out what the perfect balance is a little faster. Then I think you'll get a community. You'll get a community that loves the game, and their love and passion for the game will be shared in their content and their live streams. And then their viewers who look up to them will agree with them and also love the game and share it around. You know what I mean? It's like, that's why Melee is so successful, because the players love the game and they share their passion for the game. And that's infectious, and it creates massive communities. So as long as the players like the game, I think the sky's the limit with this.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you for that. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the podcast. Great start for us to kick off 2021. Thank you, Shiway, again for coming on and sharing with us how you got involved with competitive Halo. And we are so excited to see what 2021 brings to you for your opportunities and your growth, and hope everything continues to go well for you. Where can people find you online and across the interwebs?
And first of all, thank you for all the kind words there. And I'm looking forward to seeing where we go in this year and where our journey takes all of us, you know, because I'm sure we're going to see a lot more of each other. So thank you for just having me to kick this off. You guys can find me on youtube.com/shyway, twitch.tv/theshyway, twitter.com/theshyway. And that's all I'll give you for now.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much. Happy to have you on again once we get more details about Infinite Multiplayer, whenever that may be. Thank you all for listening to us. We are back in here 2021. We're going to have Covenant Canon, like I said earlier, on for our next episode. Not likely to see any news, or at least we're not expecting it. So it will be a weekend recording and then a release on Thursday next week. So Thursday during the podcast time will probably be a gameplay of some kind, whether we just jump into some Halo multiplayer or jump into some fan games and mods that I have been meaning to try to jump into. We'll let you know on social media what we decide to do for that.
And maybe eventually Dust will finish the next book.
There's that too. I made good progress last year, and I'll get caught up this year. So no worries about that. You can find the podcast over on any podcasting service that you can think of, or at least we hope so. If there's a place that you can't find us, then please reach out to us and let us know. We are on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Amazon Podcasts, pretty much anywhere and everywhere. You can find us on Twitch, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, all those fun places. Just search for Pod Tackler and you'll be likely to find us. We have our podcast every Thursday on Twitch at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us on Fridays as well at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for our Frackin' Fridays hosted by GT. I unfortunately have a previous obligation, so I will not be able to be there, at least for the beginning. I might show up really late tomorrow, but I may miss the first one of 2021, unfortunately. For those that are interested in playing, make sure you head on over to our Discord. We will put a poll over there for which game we'll be playing, either Halo 5 or MCC. And then on Sundays, you can find us at 10 p.m. Eastern for Achieving Halo. That is subject to change, but we'll keep that schedule for the time being. You can also support the podcast by subscribing to us here on Twitch, joining us over on Patreon, or donating to us directly through PayPal. For those that are on Twitch, I thank you all for the overwhelming support that you gave us in 2020. Thank you, Pins, for being the sole funder of all the Twitch subscription gifts that we've gotten over the last like 9 months, I think, ever since we kind of just blew up on Twitch. So thank you for all your support. Thank you to our patrons as well, who are supporting us. I believe we have, I'm trying to pull up the list, but I believe we have Austin Weebrink supporting us, and I'm looking at the other one at the moment. If you want to donate to us, you can do so by going to podtackler.com/donate if you'd rather support the Podtackler community and web hosting and all that fun stuff in that manner. That'll wrap it up for us tonight. Thank you everyone for tuning in. Thank you, Shiway, again so much for coming on to the show. Looking forward to seeing, like you said, how things happen for us in the Halo community for 2021. Hoping good things. Hoping some great news coming out of 343 over the next coming months. Hopefully for some flighting. we'll see how 2021 treats us going here forward. Any final thoughts or comments, gentlemen? I know you always have something, DJ.
There's an elephant loose above me, and I can't figure out why.
I'm assuming my dogs have gotten out of their pen. That's pretty much it.
All right.
Abnormal is normal.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We will catch you on one of our next streams, if not the next podcast. Until then, keep on fragging them trucks.